Hello, I'm Renee Kramer, welcoming you to the FWC podcast, where we are bringing faith to life. To learn more about service times and discipleship classes, please visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. Now grab your Bibles and get ready for today's sermon.
This is the final sermon in my little sermon series I did, Complete the Transaction. We did a little sermon series called Complete the Transaction, and today we're going to talk about victory. Amen? How many victory? As we've done this series, we started off talking about how Jesus completed the transaction of salvation. We all needed salvation. It was just all we had to do was accept it. Then we talked about how financial blessings, how we see that God has blessings in store for us. And last week we talked about healing and how he's already had the stripes on his back. You know, he's already paid the price for our healing. Now all we have to do is accept it and walk in it. Amen? Well, the same comes for victory. Amen? The same comes for victory. And I know even today we sang about victory. How many love victory songs? You know, there's all kinds of victory songs we see. We see the song, I'm Gonna See a Victory, right? The weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. Hallelujah. We sing about victory. We get excited about that one. When All I See is the Battle, they sang today, You See My Victory. Some of you need victory. So it tells us when we fight on our knees, right? And another victory song, I think this one's probably sang all across the world right now, just a real popular song, but I know we love it. This is how I fight my battles, right? This is how I fight my battles. Because when it looks like I'm surrounded by you. We love victory songs. You know, I see when these songs come on, you know, people get really excited. You know, we love to think about victory. Hallelujah. Amen. What is it that you think of when you think of victory? What do you think of when you think of victory? Do you think of David and Goliath? Do you think of giants in our lives that we have victory over? So I got this giant in my life, but I got victory. And we remember the story of David and Goliath. Do you think of Jericho in Joshua chapter 6? Here we'll read a couple of verses out of Joshua chapter 6 as we look at the victory that Joshua had over Jericho and the city of Jericho. Verses 2 and 3, it says, But the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king, and all its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. Right? We see the Lord gave Joshua this plan, this attack for victory. Then jumping down to verse 16, it says, The seventh time around, as the priests sounded the long blast on their horns, Joshua commanded the people, Shout, for the Lord has given you the town. The Lord has given you the victory. Amen? Oh, we get excited about that when we hear that. We began to get excited about victory. We shout with a voice of triumph, right? We think about victory. What other stories do you think of when you think of victory? Think of one of Apostle's favorite stories in the Bible. He likes to talk about the story of Gideon. Gideon went into a battle, and he had too many men. The Lord said, if you win this battle with all these men, they're going to think it's them. They're going to want the glory. They're going to say how mighty they were. And in Judges chapter 7, we see where the Lord was talking with Gideon, and he told, tell half of them to go home if they don't want to be here. And he gave them all these tests. And then in Judges 7:7, the Lord told Gideon, with these 300 men, I will rescue you and give you victory over the Midianites. Send all the others home. So we see all these wonderful stories of victories. Here's my favorite story of victory. Is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. King Jehoshaphat's army and the battle with the Moabites and Ammonites. Here, I'll read that one to you. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. It says, After this, the armies of the Moabites and Ammonites and some of the Midianites declared war on Jehoshaphat. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army of Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. They're already at Hazon Tamar, which is another name for En-Gedi." Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah and Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard at the temple of the Lord. He prayed, "O Lord God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are the ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty, and no one can stand against you. O our God, did you not drive out those who lived in this land when your people Israel arrived? And did you not give us this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? Your people settled here and built this temple to honor your name. They said whenever we're faced with such calamity, such as war, plague, or famine, we can come and stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. And now see what the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir are doing. You would not let our ancestors invade those nations when Israel left Egypt. So they went around them and did not destroy them. Now see how they reward us, for they have come to throw us out of your land, which you gave us as an inheritance. O our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help." As all the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives, and children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. His name was Jazael, son of Zechariah, son of Benaniah, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, a Levite, who was a descendant of Asaph. He said, "Listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, and listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow march out against them, and you will find them coming through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jerel. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, stand still, and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you." Oh, I love that one. That's one of my favorites. I love the fact that what we sing, we even sing a song about that. You know, all you got to do is stand. All you got to do is show up at the battle, but it's not your battle to fight. But you have the victory. Amen? How many just love hearing about victory? I love victory songs, and I love victory stories. Love thinking about the victory that we have. But you know, then I began to think about victory. I began to think about the thought process that we have when it comes to victory. See, we watch too many movies. Anybody movie buff? We watch a lot of movies. We watch so many movies that when we see the movies, we think that we see the opposition, and then there's got to be this big climax in the movie. And then this climax in the movie, there's got to be a big battle. And then when we see it to get victory, we determine ourselves that there has to be a winner and there has to be a loser. Right? There's got to be a winner. If you're going to have victory, there's got to be a winner and there's got to be a loser. Because we watch a lot of movies. Right? There's always a winner and there's always a loser. And sometimes most people, because of what we've seen, because of how we're programmed, we are just as satisfied with seeing someone lose as we are someone win. If you don't believe me, ask a Kentucky fan. Because every time Duke plays, they just want to see them lose. It don't matter who they're playing, they just want to see them lose. Because in our mind, that's how we see victory. We somehow see that Kentucky wins even if they're not playing Duke if Duke loses. Right? I'm telling you. We get this process of that's how we see and understand victory. We understand victory as that there's got to be a winner and there's got to be a loser. But what happens when your neighbor does you wrong? See, we take this approach that when our neighbor does us wrong, that we want victory. So we're like, "I'm going to sneak out and march around your house tonight. You're going to see those walls fall down under your kingdom you've tried to build. You've done me wrong, so I want to see you lose. I want to see victory over you because you've done me wrong. Right? Well, maybe when we see victory, we take words of wisdom from Ricky Bobby. If you ain't first, you're last. You know, and we begin to strategize how we can take a small number of 300 and take down a mighty empire, take down a mega corporation, right? Oh, we don't like what Disney's doing. So we're going to get our little group. We're going to take Disney down. We're going to boycott them. We'll show them. Yeah, I don't think that's what God's talking about when he's talking about victory. I don't think that you're going to do anything to Disney. You know, you can have your convictions over things that you don't like and don't accept, and that's fine. But we take this approach, and we want to see this major victory because we want to see someone win, and we want to see someone lose. It's kind of the process that we go through. Now, I'm not saying that God can't do something massive and miraculous because we already saw him overturn Roe v. Wade this year, right? I'm not saying that we won't see God do major things in our lifetimes and take down major governments. He could. He may. But we focus such that even in our approach, even in our political approach, that it's victory is only if we win and someone else loses. I don't know that that's the victory that God intended for us to focus on. So what is victory? And what do we have victory over? See, if Jesus already completed part of the transaction for victory, then it was our purpose to complete the other part of the transaction and take hold of victory. But yet, there's so many things that we focus on that distract us of what victory may look like. So we have to understand what victory looks like to the Lord and what we can take hold of. Let's look at Revelation chapter 1. Verses 17 and 18. It says, when I saw him, this is John speaking, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. But he, Jesus, laid his right hand on me and said, don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I died, but look, I'm alive forevermore, and I hold the keys to death and the grave. Amen. Now we're seeing Jesus, how he completed the transaction of victory. This is Jesus' victory. I was alive, and I died, but I rose again. That's victory. That's the victory that he gave us. Because then he said, I hold the keys to death and Hades. Amen. Now, I tell you what, Sean knows, we could spend all Wednesday night just on this verse. We could take a whole Wednesday night just to teach you about this verse. Because there's a lot right here. But I want to talk to you a little bit about the victory that Jesus gave us. Because, see, Jesus, he didn't die to free us from Satan. Yeah. Oftentimes we think, oh, that's what happened. Jesus died and now we don't got to worry about Satan anymore. That's not true. He died to free us from our bondage to sin. He died to free us from our bondage, to give us victory over sin and the death that is the result of sin. That's why he holds the keys to death and the grave. Because, see, when we sin, sin can't enter the kingdom of God, right? So when he died, he made it available for us to be free from sin, so then we could enter the kingdom of God. That's what we have victory over. We think we have victory over the enemy. We think we have victory over just Satan. No, we're free from his bondage of sin. And the victory that Jesus won over sin was a permanent victory. It was permanent. See, a lot of these times we see victories where people have to keep going back and fighting a battle and keep fighting a battle and fighting a battle. I mean, you may be in that situation right now. You've been trying to fight this same battle over and over. Maybe it's a battle of addiction. Maybe it's a battle of depression. You keep fighting these battles over and over. But he won a permanent victory that all we have to do is now receive. Take hold of the victory that God has already won. He gave us victory over sin and bondage. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 through 58. It says, death is swallowed up in victory. Amen? Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death. Now, that's why people hate death. That's why people don't like to talk about death. Because if there was sin in someone's life, the sting of death is real. People don't like to talk about death because most of them say, well, I don't know where I'm going to go. I don't know what happens to me after I die. And so there's a sting of death. That's why people are so afraid of it. They don't like it. It's a topic people don't like to talk about. But let me tell you, if you're here today, you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, death, where is your victory? Because it has no victory over you. It has no sting. If a person of God dies, even before we think it's their time, we still know they have victory in Jesus. Amen? It doesn't. The death sting doesn't hurt because we know where they're at. That's what's important for you today. If you're worried about death, if you're afraid of dying, then you need to get right with the Lord. Because death wouldn't have a sting. Death wouldn't have victory over you if you know Jesus. Because that means you just get to spend eternity with your Heavenly Father. Amen? For sin is the sting that results in death. And the law gives sin its power. Because sin can't enter heaven. And the law gives sin its power. But thank God, He gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Someone say amen. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Amen? So, we have to thank God that He's given us victory through Jesus. If you don't know Him, you have victory when you come to know Him. If you are worried about death, you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Through Jesus Christ, you now have victory. See, this is important to understand. He uses the word victory here. He gives us victory. We've already talked about salvation. We've already talked about the other things that He completed. But He gives us victory. That's a powerful thing. We have victory. And as we look through this, I think it just gave us our 3 points that we need for today's sermon. Every good sermon's got 3 points, right? Number one, be strong. Be strong. Joshua 1:9 says, this is my command. Not a suggestion, not a recommendation. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen? So if we have victory, then we have to understand that Jesus, our Heavenly Father, has sent the Holy Spirit, and He is with us wherever we go. So when our team went to Israel, people, aren't you worried about going over there? No, because He's with me wherever I go. Amen? People were so, worried about all the things that are happening in the world, wars and plagues and rumors of wars. But we have to realize God is with us wherever we go. So we have to be strong. He didn't call us to be feeble. He didn't call us to be weak-minded. He called us to be courageous. Be strong. Are we strong in our faith? If we know we got the victory, if you know you're going to defeat someone, you know you're going to win, do you go into it all, well, I don't know what's going to happen today. Do you go into it all timid? No. I mean, you go into it strong. You go into it knowing you have victory. Amen? We have to be strong. Ephesians 6:10 says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Not just be strong in the Lord, but and in His mighty power. Well, I don't know if God can do that. I don't know if He can heal the sick. I don't know if He can open blind eyes. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Do we understand that we have victory and therefore we have power through the Holy Spirit? We're not timid Christians. We're not worried about what this world says. We have a strength and we have a power through the Holy Spirit. That is the victory that we have. Do we go through our Christian walk with victory? Or when someone says something, we say, well, I hope so. No. Is your word strong when you say it? Is your word strong? I know God has healed me. I know God has set me free. I know God's going to bless me. I know He has better for me. I know He has plans for me. I know He can heal the sick. Are we strong? Number two, be immovable. Be immovable. As we continue there in Ephesians 6, we go right to verse 11. And it says, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. Put on all of God's armor so you can stand firm. I talked about this last week, standing firm, because the enemy has strategies. And when you think you've got a promise and you got a hold of it, I've got my promise, I've got my healing, I've got my blessing, I've got whatever I need, I got victory, the enemy's going to use strategies to try to make you forget it. All of a sudden, you're going to get a blow from the enemy. And I'm losing what I got. But you got to grab it and replant your feet. Stand still. Be immovable. I mean, that's when the enemy comes to push you. I'm going to knock you down. I'm going to stand firm. I'm going to stand still. Because I know I have the victory. You ever lined up against someone? You know, my son has to line up in football and come running at someone. And when you come running at someone in football and you do that, you're getting hit and you're getting knocked down. You have to hit them with more force than they're hitting you with. Stand still. Be immovable. It's like a sumo wrestler. You gotta have a sumo wrestler faith that you just plant yourself, and before long, you've gotten so immovable that you're just daring the devil. Come on. See if you can knock me over now. See if you can hit me now. Because I am immovable. Ephesians 13, it says, therefore put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you'll still be standing firm. After the battle. Why is these battle songs important? Because you will face battles. You will have trials. The enemy has strategies he's going to keep throwing at you. But after the battle, are you still standing firm? Were you immovable through the battle? Were you immovable through the storm? Were you immovable when that sickness hit your home? Were you immovable when you were in financial need? Were you immovable? Did you stand firm after the battle? In the King James, I like it. I know Apostle likes it, right? This in the King James too. Because it says, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore. And having done all to stand. What's that mean? Well, I've put on the armor of God. I've done everything I should do. I pay my tithes. I go to church. I pray. I read the word. I've done all that I'm supposed to do to stand, but the enemy keeps coming. The enemy keeps hitting. The enemy keeps attacking. His strategies are ruthless. What do? Stand therefore. Be standing after the battle. Be standing when the dust settles. Be standing. We stand. How do we have victory? We stay standing. We have to trust in the armor of the Lord. How do we have victory? We trust in God's armor. If we're putting on the armor of God, we can trust in that armor. I have a friend who served in the military. He was in Afghanistan and Iraq and all this. And he told me a story one day that they had all their gear on. And they were in a Humvee, and they're driving, and as they're driving into the city, all of a sudden, their Humvee starts getting hit with bullets. Boom, 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 boom. And so one of the guys reacts, stops the Humvee, opens the door to fire back. My friend's sitting in the passenger seat. This guy opens the door, jumps back to fire back at the building that was shooting at them, and gets hit. And my friend had to reach over, and as he reached over to grab the guy, his head is leaning out of the car, and a bullet hits the window right where his head was. But it was armor proof. And he yanked his friend back in and shut the door. Because the Humvee was armored. He didn't trust the armor. He got out to fight this battle on his own. How many times do we get out of the armor and the protection of God? I got this one on my own. I got this one on my own. Let me show him. He wants to fire at us. I'll fire back at him. But we're in the armor of God. All we got to do is stay immovable. I got the armor of God. And I'm immovable. You can hit me with your strategies, but they bounce right off. It was a wake-up call when that bullet hit that glass. And he was looking right at it and said, if I would have been out of that, I'd have been dead. I'd have been dead. But I had the armor. I had the armor. If you want victory, do you have the armor? Do you trust in the armor of God? Oh, the enemy's got strategies. He's got strategies. He's going to throw things at you. Things are going to be hard. But will you still be standing when the dust settles because you trusted in the armor? See, God has given us the victory if we're willing to show up and stand. Some of us are afraid to even show up at the battle. That's what I love about that passage out of Jehoshaphat. He said, I've given you the victory, but you got to show up. Oh, I love that passage. I've given you the victory, but you got to show up. Some people are afraid to show up. They're afraid to show up. Well, I don't want to be associated with that. I don't know what's going to happen there. I'm not going to show up for that. We have to be immovable. I'm going to tell you, if we're tossed around by different doctrines, you're not immovable. If you're tossed around by different fads, you're not immovable. If you're tossed around by all the different things that are happening in your life, you're not immovable. I'm telling you, you have to get rooted and grounded in the Word of God and in a place that teaches the Word of God. Because you have to grow. You have to learn how to put on the armor of God. And you have to be immovable. There's times that, yeah, you're going to get out of that Humvee and you're going to try to do it on your own. And we got to say, hey, come on back. Come on back. We got you. Stay here. Stay right here. Yeah, you got the armor, but when you get inside here, you're in the tank. We got to resist the devil, and he'll flee. Not get out and try to fight him on our own. We have to be immovable, but we're not immovable if every time we hear something new happening, we want to run to it. Now, I'm not talking about the revivals. Get in. Get what God is doing. But, oh, I got to go over here to get healed. No, you can get healed anywhere. I don't got to chase this doctrine. Oh, You preached this Sunday and I didn't like it. It was convicting, so I'm going to go somewhere else. That's fine. You're not immovable. When the enemy comes, when the strategies of the enemies come, you won't have victory. We have to be immovable. Immovable. We can't chase different fads. You know, I was disappointed. I was sad this week. We took McKenna to Asbury for an all-star band competition this weekend, and you know, they're kind of ending the revival. It was kind of ending, and they're sending, you know, and they've been very good and very responsible over it. I have nothing negative to say about what they're doing. But they're, you know, they believe the revival's to be sent out. Happens and it's be sent out. I mean, we're a college and we have students. But when I pulled up, and here's what I was disappointed about. I pulled up at Asbury, and down the streets were all of these Christians holding up signs, talking about what a real revival was, talking about what real sin is, and how we can't accept these things. Holding up signs for all these people that are coming, that wanted to come and be touched by God. They think they got to stand there on their soapbox and hold up signs, telling people what they need, telling people what they should accept, what they shouldn't accept. These people are not, these people are tossed around by different doctrines. They're not immovable with the Word of God. They're trying to act like they're holier than everybody else, but they're not. And that pushes people away. That pushes people away from what God is doing. And those people show up. Well, you have to be strong and immovable in your own faith. Because there's people that come and tell you things. There's people that come and try to put lies in your ears about what you need, about what God wants for you, about how you should come over here because this or that. But you have to have victory in your life by being strong and immovable. The third thing. Work enthusiastically. Work enthusiastically. See, we got victory, but we got work to do. How many know we got victory, but we got work to do? This world is hurting and longing for something that is true, that is longing for something that is real. So we've got work to do. We've got victory. So don't we want to show them they can have victory too? We have victory in Jesus. Don't we want to show them that they can be free from their bondage too? Everything that we've seen in the world, the rise of addictions, the rise of homosexuality, the rise of all of this, it's all because they haven't seen victory over their bondage. We were in bondage too. We were in bondage once too, and then we were set free through Jesus Christ. So we have work to do. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, it says, "Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than people." See, when we get to a church, you know, we want to have a God to do something in the church, you got to have workers. You know, that was the one thing I was impressed with at Asbury. We showed up, man, and they didn't know what was going on. But boy, they had parking attendants, they had security, they had altar workers, they had all this stuff. They got workers immediately. And if we want a revival, we got to realize that we're going to need workers, we're going to need ushers, we're going to need security, we're going to need parking lot people, we're going to need nursery people, we're going to need children's church people, we're going to need all this. But then people say, "You always want me to do something? I don't want you to do anything. You don't work for me, you work for the Lord. Work willingly at whatever you do as you were working for the Lord. And remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward. And that the master you are serving is Christ." We have to work enthusiastically. Sometimes you got to work for your victory. You got to work for your victory. But you got to work enthusiastically for it. If you're believing for God to do something great, what are you? Are you working toward it? Maybe work is making room. Maybe it's clearing out some things. Maybe it's getting rid of some things. Are you working to make room? Are you working toward your victory? And are you working enthusiastically? Are you like, oh, well, I'm coming, but, you know, I don't want to. I'm doing this, but I'm serving here, but I don't want to. John chapter 9, verses 4 through 5. It says, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work, and as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Are we working the work of the one who sent us? You know, we've been talking, we've done a lot of teaching about spiritual gifts. We've talked to you about the spiritual gifts that you have, of how God has given each and every one of us different spiritual gifts. Are you working to use those? Are you working to use those? Are you being a light in this world? Are you working knowing that a time is coming, that the night is coming when we cannot no longer reach out to those that are lost? I promise you this, if you've learned anything from the signs that you've seen, if you've learned anything from the revivals that are happening, I want you to know this, time is short. Time is short. You don't have all the time to think, well, I'll do that one day. I'll work to that one day. Time is short. We have to work while it is, while we have time. We have to work while we have time. There's so many people, I see this call of God on your life, and I know what kind of a difference you can make in the kingdom of God, and it's like, well, I'll wait until I get this done in my life. Well, I'll work with the youth, but first I got to do this. I'll work with children, but first I got to get through this phase of my life. I'll give, but first I got to do this. I'll witness to my friends. I'll witness to my family, but first, we put all these things before the work of God. We have to realize that time is short, that we have to be working now. We have to be willing to do what God wants us to do. Because we know we have the victory. But don't we want everyone else to have it too? We don't need to have a victory mindset that we have to win and someone has to lose. Everyone wins when they know Jesus. Even those that did you wrong, even those that lived a lifestyle that you don't agree with, they win when you give them Jesus. Don't we want people to win? Aren't we cheering for people, for their lives to change because they know Jesus? That's what was so powerful about the revival, is people were getting victory and getting set free because they came to know the love of Jesus. That's victory. That's freedom. We're telling people about how Jesus completed the transaction and they can have salvation. We're telling people how they can be blessed, how they can be healed. And we need to show them victory over the bondage that they have. People are so bound by sin. They're bound. They're in bondage. And because of that bondage, they will have a sting of death. But if we can give them Jesus, then they're set free of that bondage. We spend so much time trying to convince them and condemn them of the bondage. We try to condemn them of the bondage, but they need Jesus to set them free. How are you working? How are you strong? How are you immovable with the Word of God? How are you showing Jesus? How are you showing it every day? How are you making a difference? I totally believe that we will see a revival. We'll see this place full. I believe all of that. But guess what? It will take work. It will take us doing our part. It will take us showing Jesus to everyone every day. What was powerful about the Jesus movement was that all of a sudden these people just began to tell people about Jesus every day because they were so full of him. And people just began to flood into the church because they were hungry for something. But we don't want to talk to someone that looks different than us. We don't want to associate with that person. We don't want to witness to that person. Well, you know, I don't want them to come into church. You know, they don't look like us. They don't talk like us. They don't dress like us. We have to show them victory over bondage. We have to show that they can have victory. You know, I told you I love victory songs. I love victory stories. I love this victory song right here. Maybe you'll help me. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Are we telling people about the victory of Jesus? Are we letting them know that they can have victory too? I don't want to see anyone lose. I don't want to see anyone hit rock bottom. I don't want to see anyone get what they deserve. They deserve Jesus. And we should show them Jesus. I'm going to give you one last scripture as I close, and I'm going to have Apostle come up and close us in prayer today. But we find Old Testament confirmation in scriptures of just what we read today. In 2 Chronicles 15:7, it says, But as for you, be strong and courageous, for your work will be rewarded. That's what we're to do. Be strong, courageous. For the work that we put in for showing people Jesus, it will be rewarded. It will be rewarded. I want you to know that you have victory. Whatever you're going through in your life today, you have victory through Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you.
You know, I believe with all of my heart that every single person in here, you either have a neighbor, you have a coworker, you have a friend that wants what you have. And they're waiting for you to share what you have with them. I believe that. I believe right now that the world, the earth, is crying out for Jesus. I believe souls are crying out for Jesus. You may be sitting here today and, you know, you maybe miss first time, second time, or whatever, and everybody assumes that you have that relationship with Jesus. But, you know, you may have never prayed that sinner's prayer to invite Christ into your life so that you can walk out of here today and say, victory in Jesus, because he's here for you today. So if you're here today and you don't know for sure about your salvation, if you have questions, and let me tell you, it's always good to have questions. But if you have questions you don't know, I want to share with you the good news that you can leave here knowing. So I'm going to ask you, if you're here and you're, so I want to know that I've got victory. I want you to slip your hand up, let us know so we can pray for you today. Is there anyone at all that says, I want to know that I got victory? Pray for me that I would know that I know without a shadow of doubt. Before we close today, before we leave, God bless. God bless. Anyone else? The Bible says that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross for our sins. And if we'll believe in our heart and confess with our mouth Him as Lord and Savior, we shall be saved. The devil keeps telling you you're not saved because he brings up your past. One of my favorite scriptures is 2 Corinthians 5:17. He that is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So right now, I want you to pray with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus Christ. I thank you that he died on the cross for my sins. And today, I thank you that he sits in heaven with you. But I ask him to come into my heart today and cleanse me of my sins and make me new in Jesus' name. If you'll believe that, if you'll confess that, if you'll stand on that, if you'll be unmovable on that principle alone, you can know that you got victory in Jesus. Amen. It's that simple. ABC. Accept Jesus. Believe in your heart and confess that you are a sinner and you shall be saved. Look for your ABC this week. Maybe your neighbor, maybe your son, maybe your daughter, maybe your mother, maybe your father, co-worker. Somebody is looking to you. I remember a co-worker years ago when I worked in the dairy business, and this man died, and they had an obituary up in the office. We came in, and it told of all of his stuff, and it began with his affiliation with his church, and he was a deacon, and he was this and that. And I remember thinking, I didn't know he was a Christian. Does your neighbor know you're a Christian? Does your co-worker know you're a Christian? Does everybody that come running out, here comes that Christian again. That's what I once said about me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today. Lord, I thank you for the victory that I have today in you. Lord, Father God, I pray that every single person in this room, Father God, understands that they have victory in you, Lord, Father God. And Lord, let us celebrate our victory, Lord, Father God, that we would share the good news with every person that we come in contact. And Lord, that we would see the people of Nelson County come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that there would be a great revival of souls for the kingdom of God. Lord, we know that the harvest field is ripe. Lord, send out the reapers today to go into the harvest. As we leave this lot today, we enter our harvest field. And Lord, let us be diligent about your work. We give you the glory in Christ's name. Amen and amen. And I want everybody to shout with me, I got victory. 1, 2, 3. I've got victory. Hallelujah.
We hope you enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to sow a seed into our ministry, text the word GIVE to 833-613-0523. For more sermons and content like this, please subscribe and like this podcast and visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. And remember, we are carrying the message of Jesus to reach those that are lost.